welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 17. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters.
Hi, this is Troy from TLC Creative Services, and last week was the 14th annual Presentation Summit Conference held this year in Las Vegas. Sandy, Nolan, and myself were featured presenters for 8 different sessions over the 3-day conference. We also wrangled a session slot for this live audience recording of the 17th episode of the Presentation Podcast. This recording is great, but a few areas it gets a little bit quiet, and a few areas things didn't quite work out as we expected with the setup, but I think it's lots of fun and hope you enjoy listening in. If you were one of the 200 plus presentation professionals at the 2016 Presentation Summit, it was incredible to be in the same room with you. If you're listening in, thank you for spending an hour with us talking shop about presentations. So now let's head over to our live audience recording at the 2016 Presentation Summit, where we are joined by Rick Altman, the conference director and founder.
Hello, Sandy. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Sandy.
Oh, we gotta get you much closer so people can hear you.
Yeah.
Hello, Sandy.
Okay, Nolan. Hey.
Hello, Sandy. 1, 2, 3.
Ba 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 ba. Yep. Ba 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 ba.
Grand.
Ba ba.
Now we just need Mr. Altman. There he is. Yay! Never had applause just for walking before. Where would you like me?
You are the blue one. We'll go there.
Okay.
So, just a quick conversation. Are we prepared for how we want to do this? Like, what our conversation path is? Like, who's going to do the intro stuff? Can we scope
That's
that
you.
Out?
Yes. Isn't it all in the notes?
It's all in the notes. Huh?
I know nothing.
Started, if you haven't heard the little story on this, it started with, hey, we'd like to get together, can we just like get some space? You know, we've actually never sat in the same room and recorded one of our cool new little fun activities. And that expanded to, well, we can get you a session. All right, may I even ask for that? And then I expanded to, would you be so kind to join us, Mr. Altman? And it was like, well, I don't want to be called a host. I'm like, well, you can be with the host. How's that?
I gave an inch, you took a mile.
And it was really cool at that point. Rick, this is Presentation Summit number what?
14.
And the first one was located?
In Tucson, Arizona.
And this one is located?
This one here?
Yes.
We are in a suburb of Las Vegas.
And because many people listening will not have been here, where is the next one?
The next one will be in Clearwater Beach, about 30 minutes from Tampa.
Fantastic. There are lots of people excited about that. I'm West Coast. It is a flight, but I'm still excited about the location. Can you give us like a 60-second history on the Presentation Summit and where you see it? Well, let's just go with the history.
A 60-second history. Well, it began because a program called CorelDRAW lost its footing in its industry. Because for 15 years before this conference, I was hosting CorelWorld for users of a program that at one point dominated the industry and then sort of fell on hard times. And Steve Rinsberg, who runs our help center now, ran my help center then. And he kept saying, you should be doing this for PowerPoint. And I said, who gives a crap about PowerPoint? No, I shouldn't do this about PowerPoint. And he just kept nagging me and nagging me. And finally, I decided, okay, I will put my money where your mouth is. And I flew up to Seattle during the MVP summit. I had no idea what an MVP summit was, but there was Steve and a bunch of people that I didn't know, Echo, Rick Brettschneider was there, others, and we all sat in a hotel room. And I said, okay, let's do this. And 180 people showed up the first year. So we stumbled on something. But Steve knew all along.
And that's Steve Rinsberg.
That this was viable.
Steve Rinsberg, Echo Swinford, correct?
Correct.
Great. I'm only clarifying because...
I only used first names, didn't I? Yes.
Perhaps there are one or two people in the world that don't know their names.
Hey, Rick, talk more about the audience and, you know, who is the audience for the summit and has it changed over the years?
It's impossibly broad and at the same time wonderfully simple. It is people who owe their livelihoods to creating and delivering better presentation content. So that cuts across just about any vertical industry you could imagine because, as we know, death by PowerPoint is everywhere.
Has there ever has there been one example of a very surprising attendee? Or how somebody found
probably. Last year we had someone who had just recently graduated from high school, and she came from Alaska.
Oh, my.
And we've had military folks. I don't think we've had any honest-to-goodness celebrities. We've had a lot of weird people.
So I have to take off my necklace. I'm sorry. Or not necklace, my badge. It's very, very noisy. So talk about who speaks, who has spoken over the years.
Well, that's also a wonderfully eclectic mix because we get, we're fortunate to get some of the true luminaries in the industry. We were all privileged to have Nancy Duarte Monday this year. And then we will get people who are not necessarily professional speakers, but they're incredible geeks. And they come to show this one amazing thing, perhaps, and in some cases they weren't even scheduled to speak that year, but they went into the help center, or they participated in the 5 minutes or fewer that's about to happen later today, and we discover that wow, this person is brilliant, and knows how to speak in front of an audience, perhaps. So we discover people all the time. I'm going to say. At least a third of our presenting team were once paying customers.
I'm one of those people.
Too. Yeah. We're all raising our hands on the podcast.
So Rick. Some of your list, of course, Nancy Duarte, Carmen, over the years, some other big names, or people who became big after presenting, just some examples.
So probably the biggest name of all was Guy Kawasaki last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that he transcends the presentation space probably more than Nancy does. Mm-hmm. And so we were very fortunate to have had him last year. Now, I don't want to get too catty here or anything, but everybody enjoyed him. But I find that this audience prefers their own peeps.
Yeah.
You know, they prefer people that they can tell are in their industry, even if it's not a big name. I mean, Carmen Simon, you know, everyone just loves Carmen. And she is not as prominent outside this industry, but I suspect that given the choice between some A-list celebrity and Carmen, this group would take Carmen.
So we talked about next year. We talked about years past. Have you had any favorite speakers over the years? Before we get into that, they're breakout sessions and then they're keynote speakers as
well.
That's
right.
So it's a good mix. But any favorite sessions over the years or speakers?
Even if you gave it.
Yes. Yes, Rick speaks as well.
Okay, I'll start with what I know to be the favorites of our patrons, and that's the makeovers. That's the makeover sessions. And they take many, many forms, but anytime that you go from before to after, that just resonates so much. And and certainly Julie Terberg earns her role, her hat as makeover maven. That's a session that without fail, I just don't think there has been a year since she started in 2004 that we haven't had the makeover maven, because they're wonderfully received. She takes slides from patrons who submit them ahead of time, and she then performs work that she would charge thousands of dollars to a client, and this person gets it for free, and those who watch just love to see them. I then do more pedestrian makeovers that are more about message and functionality, and many sessions, probably six or seven sessions this year, involve work that patrons gave us, and so that will always be the favorites.
You want to talk about the tracks you have in the
they fall sessions? Down fairly general lines that are fuzzy enough that we can make exceptions. Design, build, and deliver. And design is again a wonderfully nebulous term, and build is generally where people are going to be pounding the interface, working on PowerPoint, hand to mouse, showing how things get done, and delivery. The track that we're in, because this qualifies,
we're is delivering.
All about, it's all about the ways that you actually be before an audience in some fashion.
Let's get some interaction. We have a list of questions, but any question, presentation summit. It sort of personal is all fair game. We have a throwable microphone and ask anything away so we can get more of a discussion going and have fun with it.
So this morning Microsoft announced some amazing new 3D capabilities across Windows, and PowerPoint was one of them.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, they look amazing. I was kind of hoping Microsoft would stick around for like some kind of demo for us, but I was wondering, with you know all of the features, especially what Gar Reynolds was saying during the Guru session about PowerPoint having too much, is just, you know, in PowerPoint that you can do with it, with this added new feature. What are your thoughts? What do you think? Do you think this added 3D capability, is it another thing that's just too much to play with, or is this going to be really going to launch PowerPoint in this added direction? It's just
you have me at a disadvantage because this is actually the first time hearing of this announcement.
Okay.
It's not at all unusual for me to be the least informed person at my own conference.
Rick, I found out about it 5 minutes ago.
Yes, I mentioned it to him.
So by 3D, what do you?
It's true 3D space. I saw the
true 3D space.
Think of CAD.
Toss the microphone back there. So here's my take on it. Adobe Photoshop is a program that nobody can understand 100% of the capabilities. You find the part that works for you, and that's what works for you because it accomplishes what you need. I think PowerPoint, among all the Office products, is probably the most diverse in its use. So I do a lot of larger scale productions, and I'm probably more excited about this capability because I don't have to hand that off to necessarily other systems. Other people, if you're doing a financial presentation, I'm not sure you need to see numbers in 3D space.
Yeah, this seems like it's truly in your strike zone, Troy.
I'm pretty excited about it. Oh, there's a little, it's pretty cool. What'd you have
Show
to say, Rick?
The audience,
well,
Steffi.
I'm only bringing this up because it sounded like I had slightly more information than you guys did, but they've announced a couple of things, operating system support and Windows 10. A 3D painter app that is, from what I understand, the demo was someone walked around a three-dimensional sculpture or model, a castle or something, and took pictures that then were all stitched together into a 3D image that could then be put into a PowerPoint slide. So it's, I think they announced PowerPoint support for the format, and it was rotating in a presentation slide in real time. So that's what I know.
Sounds pretty scary to me. Sounds like all sorts of opportunity for abuse.
Oh, and I'm sure it will be.
It's another big file format to make PowerPoint presentations.
As we always say,
file.
It's just a tool. You can make some pretty ugly photos in Photoshop.
This is true. It's true.
But I think the power users will leverage it as appropriately and as often as possible.
So will the tchotchke users.
So, yeah, exactly. But as to what Troy said, people will continue to use it the way they always have.
Rick, how do you vet or how do you find speakers? Because they run the gamut. You had a juggler. You had people that talked about getting in touch with your emotions. You had some pretty heady cerebral things, emotional things, fun things. How do you find these people?
I wish I could tell you that it was a science. It's not. It's more like black magic or a lost art. For the keynotes, for the general sessions, for when we are all together, I do not place a priority on presentation expertise or I should say PowerPoint expertise or perhaps not even presentation expertise. I mean, we want people who know who are good presenters, but they don't have to be teaching presenting. I want them to be broader than that. I want them to inspire and motivate. And so you've mentioned a few. Nigel Holmes, the former art director for Time Magazine, he's the one who showed up in pajamas once. He's the one that took a tube of toothpaste and spread it out across a mat, across the entire floor. He's the one with whom I inhaled helium. So there are, and these all had context. So that wouldn't work in a breakout session.
The context isn't coming through right now, but we got it when we were there.
Mm-hmm. But these were all very well received as morning keynote addresses or as general sessions. So, you know, and this all just sort of goes into a big soup. And I didn't learn it from anybody, and I don't know if there's anybody teaching it. But it just has to touch your instincts. Okay, so we've done a little bit of that, and then in the tracks, it's going to be more practical and more pragmatic. Like I said, we have these loose headers for them, but still, you know, we're going to wander all over the place. I mean, if you asked me 6 or 7 years ago, would something that can barely be pronounced a Japanese phrase, would that make it into our delivery track as Picha Kucha? I would have said, you know, what the hell are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, live from the summit, a podcast here? No, I mean, so things wander in wonderful ways. But if you're asking me the rules of thumb, I don't have any.
I want to ask a rapid fire question, so toss this around. Okay, so question for everybody, including us on the panel. What is the number one problem you see with people and PowerPoint templates? Like, they don't understand what a template can do, like one thing. So toss around. As example, I find that most people don't understand that placeholders, text placeholders, have power of having preset formatting. If it's a real template, actually, it had preset formatting. Other things that people find to be problematic or not known about templates?
So my name's Christine. They don't use them at all. They just literally use whatever the slide was before it, uh-huh. and they totally ignore that they exist in any plane of existence.
Awesome. Toss it somewhere else. I totally agree.
My biggest thing for templates is that a lot of designers and things, they think the template is the design on the main slide, and they don't understand that it's on the master slide.
Underlying, yes. I just want everybody else's opinion, so it's not just mine.
I have a lot of clients.
What's
that
your name?
My name is Patty. That copy and paste a lot of slides into the same presentation space, and they keep source formatting, so they get up to 243 masters in a 20-slide presentation.
Nolan, why don't you give us one?
That was mine. That was stolen.
I'll go then. Headers and footers.
Okay.
They suck.
That's not even anyone's fault.
They're just awful.
They're just awful.
People want them to work. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just setting the default. Oh, Heather Ackman. Setting the default text box. They will
forget.
They just forget.
Oh, so when designing it,
so when
don't know
when
how
designing,
to...
they don't set the default text box. So mm-hmm. when users are creating a text box, it has a different font, different look, and
that's or, for that matter, one. Default shape.
Default bill. Shape to default line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a big one that's often
table,
forgotten.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw in an not understanding the power of theme fonts for charts and just in general.
Yeah. And of course, color schemes gives everybody the heebie-jeebies.
You always know. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that fonts, because many times you have to... Again, I'm coming from a multilingual world, so when you have to translate things from one language to another, and once you have a default template and it doesn't really seems the same when you translate it to another language.
I think that fall right under your not people and that was, set up the fonts.
That was Jude, who came all the way from Israel.
Yay. Awesome.
Toss that around.
John Ramlow, the fact that the defaults promote really bad PowerPoint by having bullets in the slide as the default rather than a more appealing way to display content.
We're not arguing. We just don't know what to say besides yes. Toss it, anybody.
Toss it, and then I'll add one. Go ahead. I think many templates don't come with enough instructions for use. So no matter how well it's built, if the user does not know how to use it, they're not going to leverage the power of the tool.
Good point.
We run into issues. Sorry, Bethany Auk, Slide Rabbit. We run into issues where if a client wants their template in 4x3 and 16x9, they then do not respect the two different files. So there's so much moving back and forth that their templates are destroyed within weeks because they're stretching and shrinking and just going nuts.
Does anybody have a question that we can address? And it doesn't have to be a question, more of a conversation point.
My question is,
But I can't give it to the podcast, but it's not in there.
I was wondering, did Microsoft address that changing of proportions from 16 by 9 to 4 by 3? Was that them who offered a solution to that?
Well, one of your vendors, Rick, did, Empower, had had a built-in solution, but I think the tool on the Windows PowerPoint, I don't know about the Mac, the conversion from 16 by 4 by 3 or any other, I think it's a much improved tool to the point where it gets you most of the way there.
Except for the master. It's the same on Mac.
That may be true, although I feel like it's an IQ test that I fail. Because the choices, I barely understand the choices, and I need help with what it is. It's ensure something or maximize something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And
I look at scale it, down.
You know, and I study this and say, okay, now am I supposed to understand what those phrases mean? I don't. I must be an idiot.
It's trial and error.
It's trial and error. Control Z.
You know what it is? And then when you do it, you put your slot, your presentation slot side by side, and you copy the new logos over anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's like combined shapes. Right. It's all trial and error. Yeah. That's it. Eventually you'll get.
That's it. Keeps us all employed.
A question?
Yeah.
I'm some guy. No point. My name.
Hey, guy.
Hey, bonjour. it's bonsoir. No, bonjour. So, question to the group, if it's cool.
Yeah.
Can I ask it to everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody here. Knowing that we're all different levels and most of us are masters in the software that we choose, Keynote, PowerPoint, Prezi, whatever it is, what class would you like to see? What session would you like to see here, knowing that we have some, I mean, like Nolan and Sandy and of course Rick and Troy, you guys are masters at what you do. What session would you want to see and to ask the group, because we're all experts at this stuff?
Or stuff that we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. I
need to learn. Would you
we learn from each other.
Yeah, let me think about that. But
session. Topic. Well, I want to see one on the new 3D space and how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
5 minutes or fewer. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. I like the breakouts for in the categories design, build, and present. But I'd like to see one workshop where you start with a white background and you make a presentation from start to scratch.
Great idea.
Finish. Because that, I don't even know what I would say to someone who hasn't done it from scratch.
I want to keep tilting at that windmill because we have tried that and we have generally crashed and burned under the weight of the specter of going from nothing to something. It's really hard to do. I want to keep trying, though, because I agree with you that the value of that is very high. It's just not easy to do in a 60-minute slot.
What if it went across?
We have tried
tracks.
That also.
Okay, okay.
And I'm sure there's a formula that will make this work, Patty, and I will continue to try to find it.
Well, show of hands, and I'll verbalize this. If you were to watch somebody design, I have a reason behind this statement. If you were to watch somebody design, is it because you want to see different ways of accomplishing things in PowerPoint, or is it because you just want to see how fast somebody can work and measure your own speed? So who wants to see how things are built by somebody, like their techniques? Who wants to see just like how fast it can be done so you can have like a benchmark? Interesting.
Marsh, so I'm not surprised.
It was like the majority said they want to watch technique. So in my studio, one of the things we do with new designers is we'll often just say, you just need to sit and watch. You know, if we have a presentation and we know we're going to format 40, 50 medical charts. And there's many ways to do it. As we were just talking about, it's kind of the Adobe Photoshop. You can approach formatting charts many ways. So we'll just have a designer sit and watch one of our other designers work on it so they can get our workflow. So we're in sync.
Okay.
I think that...
Okay, so this is great. My mind is racing. So what about this? What about if we dedicated 1 hour across all three tracks and we called it Blank Slate? Blank slate here and blank
slate
here.
Hold on, we got to don't explode. Talk
no, how to craft your message according to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So how
there
to
it
change,
is.
You take the Ooh. Same content
yep. yeah.
and you twist it yeah. according to who you're presenting to.
All right, so you know what? I think we have an hour already taken care of at next year.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to see, this is Steffi, by the way, a session on animation. Specifically on animation of data and Ooh. Charts, that's done in an intelligible way.
Using native charts and tables.
Well, you know, I would love for that to happen, but okay. I don't think we're quite there yet.
That's a great, you know, I've done animation sessions here, but it was just a random, what does Troy want to talk about? But it would be cool to target animation for specific areas, maybe even Tapa style, the shorter sessions.
Yeah, and we've done that, and we bring it back routinely. Also, there's no end to the amount of topics that could be around animation, and continuing to refine that is good. So I want to paraphrase that. So, and perhaps you're right. In 20 minutes, how to animate blank. You know, maybe we fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Perhaps every year, or actually, maybe every day, it could be a different blank. Mm-hmm. How to animate blank?
Okay.
I'm going to get all this right. I don't have to take notes.
You will.
Good,
yes.
Okay.
Provided everything technically works.
We got to do this every year. So look at all these great ideas.
Talk back to Marshall.
I will.
Hey, Marsh.
Go ahead. Oh, you talk, okay. And we'll hand it off.
This is Christine. Well, it's a given that even if I sit in on something that I already know or I think I know, I'm always going to walk out with something and learn a shortcut or a totally different way to look at it and that we can leverage. That's a given. But I really think it would be awesome. So many of us are in corporate environments that we're shackled with multiple things. We're shackled with the version we're using. We're shackled with the template we're using that is awful and we can't optimize it. So I would love to see a way to survive in that corporate environment when you're shackled in different ways.
Oh, that's a
good one.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, and ooh, Bill,
well, it's coming to you, Marshall. Yeah. I promise.
I'm
we
sorry,
saw it.
I'll
we got
very
ooh, ooh in front.
my no. Just to add on to that, you could have a session where this is some really complex something we built in the newest version. Here's how you do it or work around in this version and the version before.
You know, I think one of the first sessions I taught was called "In the Trenches: Real World Solutions to Corporate." Yeah, and that was when I was in corporate America at the time. So
real world solutions to presentation
or to
design and execution.
Real world solutions to corporate problems or something. Or yeah, that's right.
I had to stop using the word execution because some presenters took.
So I mean, that's a great idea to bring back, and because there are some very specific things that you need to think about when you have those limitations.
And even though you're no longer
specific solutions,
even though you're no longer in the corporate world, will you do that one next year?
Yes.
but
he smiled.
Like,
hold on, hand off, Marshall.
Well, let's sure.
I just I want to finish that though. Oh. I like what Christine suggested. Show us in the newest whatever what we can do. So for example, Zoom in Office 365.
Yeah.
It's a click of a button. Now, how do we do that if you don't have that? So that type of thing. Yeah. I like
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to co-teach it with Christine.
This is eight. Okay. This is eight sessions so far. We already got down.
Okay,
for next
okay Marsh.
New topic.
So it's Marshall, and my question is still related to the design suggestion about from concept to the end. Is that I would like to see, and I'm not sure if there would be interest in other people, if there's a session where it was almost a contest. And I've thought about doing this elsewhere, of where you gave 3 to 4 designers, or 5, or how many you want to do it. You have 60 minutes, and you basically give them all the same. You know, what a client would give you here, I want to show this, and this kind of a concept, and then you give them the 60 minutes or 40 minutes of the time to design something, and then you see what they can produce in that amount of time. Because I think everybody, whether you have 3 weeks to do something or a day, it's still, with presentations, one of the factors I find with designers is I need to find designers that can not just take, you know, a day to design a slide, but I need to see, okay, what can you do in an hour?
Let's take it further. Do Presentation Summit Survivor.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Sandy and I just shared a moment while you were speaking because we remembered that we had done something similar to this. We called it 5 killer slides. The mistake that we made, the strategic error that we made, is that we didn't confine it to 60 minutes. Instead, we did it over a period of 2 days. And these three groups of teams, they killed themselves. Mm-hmm. They missed sessions. They stayed up all night.
They took
it too seriously. Bless their hearts. And so, indeed, the idea of doing it in 60 minutes is would be a wonderful idea.
Why don't we just go for a reality TV show?
The whole session live.
It's like real life fiction.
I think that since everybody here is advanced users and I would say masters of presentations, maybe to also have some sort of brainstorming of where is it going next, to find the next thing.
Because that'd probably be interesting for the Microsoft people to sit on, but not be participants, just listeners.
Another late night session. So we have these things. Rick, do you want, while we're changing people, Rick, do you want to talk a little bit about the couple late night sessions we do? They're a little more informal.
Yeah,
the
late night sessions have lives of their own. The first one is Sunday evening, and the one on Sunday evening is the most impressive to me because nobody really knows one another yet. And Nolan brings them all together in what we call the Entrepreneurs Roundtable. And the other thing that strikes me about this is that often we have people in the session who are not entrepreneurs, but they are aspiring, or maybe I'll call them, I don't know, potential, wondering entrepreneurs. And usually 30 people or so start at 9 o'clock at night and go for a couple hours and have wonderful discussions about that. And one day later is Rick Bretschneider's Guru Session, which often goes until midnight. And what tickles me about this is when first-time presenters will come to this conference and see this. And I remember it was her name escapes me, Sam from Sam Horn. Thank you, from 2 years ago, wow. 3 years ago. She said, "I can't believe it. These people have been here from 8 a.m." And she said this after the trivia contest that ended at 6 p.m. So they've been here from 8 a.m. and look how engaged they are at 6 p.m. And I kind of take it for granted. And she was just so amazed by that. And I said to her, yeah, and they're coming back in 3 hours and they're going to go till midnight. And she couldn't believe it. So the gluttons for punishment that we have here just create such rich heritage at this conference.
Okay, Rick.
Oh.
You know I love you.
But that remains to be seen. What do you have to say?
But I'm going to put you on the spot. There is a group of people here that is severely underrepresented, and those are academics at the conference. And I think that has something a little bit to do with the timing that this conference is.
Oh, yeah?
Have you ever thought about maybe moving this conference to allow for teachers to maybe come here, because this is smack dab in the middle of the school year for academics.
Are you looking for summertime?
You're not the only industry that we do this to, but perhaps it is the most acute. What we need are two events, because if we move the summit into the summer, it would be death. It just would be.
We call the new one "Let's Learn PowerPoint for the education."
Yeah, yeah, because the other thing is the other part that's underrepresented is e-learning, and we have not. I don't feel like we've successfully integrated e-learning content into this conference as well as we could have. We've done some lip service to it. We've sort of thrown it into the delivery track here and there. I've tried to get vendors who speak to it more, and I know we could do better. I just don't know if summertime is the solution there without cutting off my other arm.
I'll say that you do respond to other constituencies. Like, we've had Prezi come in. We've done keynote sessions as well. Right. I think you always respond, I think you'd agree, to what people are clamoring for and asking for. And if the demand for keynote and Prezi, for example, don't continue, then...
Yeah, and this year it was pretty clear. You all are over 99% PowerPoint this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I have a question for all
1%?
Of you.
We know them. hand that box back so we can...
Okay, and then I'll ask
a question.
Go for it. Okay, we'll get it to Rick next.
I'll hand that. So this is Steve. I work for a major corporation, and we take care of a lot of business meetings. An average meeting will be anywhere from 200 people to 500 people live in the cafeteria, wherever it may be, and then it's being broadcasted out to 1,400 people. Mm-hmm. To try to create that engagement, is there any looking for a seminar or best tips and techniques from a hardware perspective, technical perspective, as well as just an engagement perspective? It's one thing to speak to somebody live and you could see the president up there talking or whatever, but for these poor 1,400 people that are sitting there and they're literally looking at a little slide and a little video. So I would love to see if there's something about that. I'm not sure if this is what other people have.
I'd love sessions on webinars too. Right. I think remote presenting is just increasing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
about every other year we do something about that. And I would have done it this year, and the person that I wanted to come couldn't. But point taken.
That's a hard topic, and a lot of it depends on budget. and what can be implemented. I've personally seen a couple of really cool ones where the meeting developed pre-roll videos that would kind of basically overview a lot of the topics so that if you couldn't watch at that moment. So it was kind of an engagement tool. Videos, you know, a lot of glitz and flash and, you know, music and whatnot. I've also seen a lot of interactivity starting to pick up, a lot of the remote Q&A stuff. So let's get our input from everybody that's not in the building here, everybody listening in remote. And, you know, they do a lot of interactive, kind of like the interactive Q&A we did here, Rick, with a couple of the different vendors. So it's also a corporate culture thing, which we can't really address. What was your, go, let us know.
So I'm not asking for me. You'll get the sense of pretty quick.
And this but is Rick.
His friend Tom has Rick a question. Snyder.
No, seriously. And I started thinking about this when you were talking about the session where you build a slide up from nothing, that stuff. I have a sensitivity that people who come into this event and are not at the same level as 40 to 60% of the rest of them, mm-hmm. to the point where the language and the basis of knowledge that's expected to be able to understand the coolness of it that is coming out from, like, your session, Troy, yesterday. You'd be talking about other features in the product that they may not have been familiar with. And it's not just you. Everybody does it. But if there was some
But I'm here. Of, you can pick on me.
I was thinking little prerequisite videos so that if you were coming to the conference and you wanted to go see, like Rick did one on programming the other day. And it probably would have been nice to have a little bit of an introduction
like
to that they could watch ahead of time, which would both give them a chance to decide, do I really want to go see this? And also would give them a foundation for being able, so that the presenter could accelerate the process.
Do you recall, you may recall, we did that, I want to say 3 years ago.
I still have mine.
And it was terrific. And if all of the presenters were my employees and I could actually threaten them with something, we would do it every year. I think it is both a blessing and a curse, but mostly a blessing that none of the presenters actually work for me. They all have their own lives, and so getting something like that is problematic. However, on the other hand, I couldn't possibly buy the kind of loyalty that I get at this conference. I mean, you look at my conference staff, for instance, some of them have been with me for 20 years. If they were my employees, they, you know, they'd be here for a few years, go on to something else. They have their own jobs, their own lives. They come together for 1 week. And so it's just incredible the kind of loyalty, the kind of longevity we've had, and that goes for the presenters also. So if I ever had the choice, I would certainly have it the way it is now. The downside is that it's often difficult to crack the whip like that. Some of the speakers haven't even uploaded their downloads to me yet.
I sent them before this session.
I wasn't naming names.
So I have maybe a poll for along those lines. How many people, see, this is the problem with that, I think, is that how many people here have been less than three summits, three presentation summits? So you're the people I'm going to ask. How many people on your first one, so think back to if it was this week or earlier, thought they knew they were great at presentation design? I mean, they really had it down. Then they got here and kind of saw a different culture of presentation design, because I learned things every session as well. So I think people don't always know that they're at a entry level or a mid-level use. They just, you know, it's a hard topic to say, do you really know what good is? And do you really know
I learned I was mid-level when I attended my first conference in 2004. I thought I was more advanced.
I think it's a pretty, mm-hmm. I hear that message a lot. So that may play a little bit into it. People are going, I don't need to watch that. I know everything about this. I'm excited to... So well, just a show of hands, how many people think they learned a lot at the first presentation summit or kind of got a bigger exposure to
how
what...
About, how about this one? I was literally taught two things in sessions I was teaching.
Me too.
The other day.
Me too.
So, like, okay, now I know.
Yeah. And there's a comical aspect to this also, because as many of you, as probably everybody in this room knows, one of the things we ask you at registration is what your general level of proficiency is, and we give you several choices from getting your feet wet, a newbie, all the way up to, I think the last one is a hound, and many of you answer advanced, and then about 2 or 3 hours in, you will head over to the registration area and say, I can't believe that I called myself advanced. And then to Becky at the table, you say, could you please go to the database and change where I wrote that? Call me intermediate instead of me. Like, you remembered that we asked you that, as if we care. Yeah. But it's so endearing, and it happens just about every year.
Do you have a follow-up survey of any sort where you get?
You do.
Could you, like, yes, put an anonymous, here's how many people said they were advanced, and then here's how many people changed?
We probably,
like, just number. It would be really fascinating, because I think it's...
So I wanted to ask a question of all of you. So you asked how many are here three years or less, and a few of you answered. So many of you have been here for at least 3 years, but all of you now have experienced what we call our tapas sessions. This is the second year now where we've converted the afternoon into short sessions, just 20 minutes. So I want to just, instead of throwing microphones around, I just want to do a quick poll. Let me think how I would do this. How many of you really like that we do quick sessions in the afternoon? How many of you wish that we would stay at hours, at hour long? All right, we're cool. So that was everybody who raised their hand to the first question, nobody to the second question. Thank you. We will keep our ADD afternoons.
I think they're great. I really do. Do we have any more questions?
We have one more question,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, a couple things. Probably forgot some of them. But to answer your question about creating 5 slides in an hour or whatever, that's kind of interesting, because my benchmark, and I've used this for 30 years, is that if I have to estimate a job, I estimate 5 slides an hour, and that's just average. So there might be, you know, there might be a title slide, a word, you know, a couple bullets, a chart, and a table, you know, and just over the course of an hour, that averages out to about 5 slides. So I think that would be a perfect kind of platform to say, okay, here's, you know, an outline of what I need to say or whatever, and ask people to create 5 slides in an hour.
That's I think, like that twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
The second thing, about the platform and everything and your level of expertise on your,
descriptions in the booklet
that
yeah.
you give out. Most of the people that I've attended their sessions or breakout sessions, they've asked how many people are on PCs, how many people are on Macs, whatever. And so they make sure that they cover the material on a Mac if there is a good majority of people on a Mac. But even just in this layout, just say content would be presented in, and just say Mac or PC, what level of PowerPoint the presenter is going to be using.
That's a great idea.
So you know that when you come into it.
Okay, so, all right, Mac and PC, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a perfect world, it wouldn't matter, but that is never the case. So I like that. The proficiency part, that all gets back to then how we define these things. Mm-hmm. And I'd be a little gun shy, especially with that story I told you about how people will, you know, then I realize they misidentified themselves. Mm-hmm. So I need a little more thought on that. I have to, that one has to simmer some, but I like the first one right out of the chute.
The level of PowerPoint, is it PowerPoint 365 or is it PowerPoint?
Oh, version. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Version
okay. Yeah, that's, I get that.
That's another, you bet, that's a good but, feedback. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say before we...
No, I think we're going to wrap up. We wanted to make a plea, a request, a begging. If you enjoy the podcast, everybody in the room, I hope you're still here, so I hope you've enjoyed it. Please go to iTunes and just leave a quick rating for us. It helps spread the word. It helps get more people listening.
If you haven't already downloaded it or found us on iTunes, it's The Presentation Podcast.
.com.
The.
You can go to the website and play it right from there. You can get it in iTunes, so it shows up on your iDevice. You can get it through SoundCloud. You can get it through Google Play. Yes.
I think ratings on iTunes.
iTunes are important,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people. How many people have heard of the podcast before? Presentation podcast. Oh, fantastic. So it's
excellent.
About 50%.
Okay.
That's awesome. Hey, thank you everybody for coming. When you hear it, there'll be music and lots of cheering and other stuff.
And thanks for having me.
Well, speaking of pleas, how many people have joined the Presentation Guild? I'm not... Awesome. If you have not...
That was a lot of hands, by the way.
Yes, that is so awesome.
Hey, everybody, it's lunchtime.
Thank
have
you.
Fun. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Everyone.
We're wrapping up here.
All right, that was fun. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
And now...
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.